out before you. You know it's a long way down. I'll make it safer for you. Your parachute won't let you down. Take your parachute and go. Maybe come back tomorrow. Take your parachute, I am.
Hey.
Right, okay, welcome tribe to the dodgy delights of another naked football show. Our intro this week will give you some idea of the first topic of the evening. We'll also, of course, discuss the match itself when it eventually did get underway, and we'll preview the Preston game. And, of course, we'll continue to mull over the ins and outs of the transfer deadline as it approaches. And to help us in this quest, we welcome back for his first appearance of the season, his worship, the old Git.
Good evening.
Alongside Git is England goalkeeper David James.
Good evening.
Who's got to hurry off after this show because he's got a little important game at Wembley, haven't you, David? And no panel, of course, would be complete without the all-seeing eye that is Phil Ham.
Hello, hello.
As usual, we'd love your input as well, so email us now on studio@icrfm.co.uk. Or you can text us on Stop Moving the Furniture. You can text us on 07973851968. And, of course, during the week, you can email the show on nakedfooty@icrfm.co.uk. So, parachutes, Phil.
Yeah. Well, that's a surprise, wasn't it, really? Actually not. When you look into the whole kind of world of parachutes and football, it doesn't seem to be something that's gone particularly smoothly. My dad had this kind of... He said, I'm sure there was an incident at Villa Park with a parachutist. And I sort of looked it up, and immediately, 1998, parachutist parachuting into Villa Park in a game, clouted the side of the Trinity Park stand, dropped 100 feet and broke both his legs. A friend of mine reckons he was at a game at Palace when a parachutist landed and broke a leg in the centre circle and had another 20-minute delay. And then someone else reckoned that they heard about a game where a parachutist landed. His parachute got caught on the front of the stand, so he was hanging there like that, and with people hanging pies and things at him while he sort of, like, helplessly dangled waiting for the emergency services or his comrades to cut him down. So... risk assessment not particularly well done, I'd say there. But, you know, in the end, worked out.
It's lovely to see who's not too close to the microphone, Mr. Git. That's better.
Git's going to join ENT as their new singer. Yeah. Young person's joke, nearly.
Young person's joke. You didn't notice that your report described that parachutist as a brigadier.
I was merely quoting where else he was referred to.
Shrug off your... Yes, but surely...
Bombardier Ben Loose Cannon, as he's known. That's apparently his nickname. And it's interesting that they... perhaps part of the error with his rank was the fact that they very quickly removed the lower part of the biographies page from the Red Devils website, including Mr. Bombardier Cannon's information, presumably so that people couldn't identify him, because he was on the occasion he was actually identified as Ben, wasn't he? So they removed it, but of course. Google still had records of him, and his nickname apparently is Loose Cannon. So, how appropriate is that, you ask yourself?
Fantastic, yeah.
But there you go. Any other? You presumably had some experience of parachuting back during the war.
During the war, yes. I thought that was just about to come out. Good Lord, how did we do that? Yeah, the war. Everything was in black and white.
Yeah.
Parachutes were in black and white. Everything was in
black and white. Yeah. Were you there?
Did you go? In the war? I wasn't at Burnley.
No.
Instead, I went to Colchester's inaugural
home game. We'll come to that later then, I think, perhaps.
Do you want to talk about the game then, Phil?
Well, yeah, I was.
Once it got started,
I was the only one.
You were.
We'll come to Colchester later and see what you made of the ground. That's quite interesting, I think. But Burnley, interesting. Interesting game, I thought. Compared with us away from home in previous occasions last season, we looked solid, which I think is a vast leap forward. First half, we kind of had a bit of a wobbly few minutes, really, where Richard Wright made some fantastic saves, and to be honest, it just looked like he was back where he was 7 or 8 years ago as our goalkeeper.
He was at the golf course today as well.
He was good, but then we got two chances, took them, and away from home last season, too often we'd get chances and we wouldn't take them. And then second half, we came out, played five across the midfield, sat there, let Burnley try and throw something at us. They didn't actually have anything that they could throw at us. And really, it was very comfortable. I think, you know, we just sat there and there was never any point where you thought that we were going to lose or draw.
This season, the team seems to be two or three different teams. We can mount a different team.
We've got two whole teams there.
Well,
put out,
and there's three, if you count last year's team and the two new teams that we seem to have, it's just three completely different teams. You mentioned Richard Wright suddenly coming back into the...
I think it's been super. I mean, he let in five goals against West Ham and then two goals against Preston, but, you know, he didn't... None of them were his fault.
But at that point, when I'd watched him concede seven goals in sort of 5 days or something, I thought, oh my God, what we need is Richard Wright.
Yeah.
And then, curiously, you were saying that, or rather, all the reports suggested that he really did.
Yeah, he did. And, I mean, I thought he played very well against West Brom as well.
Yeah, definitely. And listening to Burnley on the radio and that, you can actually hear that he has come back again now. And that was the same with my concern. You know that he's going to put the effort in. You know the quality he's got. But we've actually lost that from not playing for so long.
Well, that's what I thought, yes. Because in Richard Naylor's testimonial...
Yeah.
He didn't look great then, did he?
Well, actually, I was just about to say, I thought he looked absolutely fabulous in
there. Yeah, I don't look like that.
Well, it reminded me, what were we missing? All the excitement is...
He didn't look fabulous in that brown kit, though. That was...
The brown kit.
Well, yes, but you realise...
With the orange shirt.
Well, against West Bromwich Albion, you know, in that great heat against West Brom, that orange shirt... And the heat that was actually produced, cutting its own little hole in the ozone layer.
I mean, you think? Yeah, I mean, you feel that there's a danger. Is this contravening the club's policy? You know, the carbon neutral policy. We're actually
with that shirt
that are cutting holes in the ozone layer.
I thought Wright had looked crap in the open training session. I thought he looked he reacted late against West Brom. I thought
he played really well.
I thought it was a statue, perhaps. You know, we've got statues of all these old boys. I thought perhaps a statue.
What did he do against West Brom? He made fantastic saves. I thought he made two or three really good saves against West Brom.
It's all a matter of opinion.
No, but I mean, you know.
Well, I thought for the goal, for example, he just stood there and watched the ball. It was a nicely placed goal, but
I didn't think he could have stood a chance.
Like the West Ham thing. Yep. Yes, you can't blame him for the fact that he let in five goals.
He was exposed, yes.
He should have just done a bit more, shouldn't he?
I think it's unfair to blame him. Anyway, he had a fantastic game on Saturday. That's what it seems to be the point that we're going for.
Wonderful.
And but it's, you know, away from home. Was the problem last year, as we all know, and it just seemed as if there was a belief in the side on Saturday that wasn't there last year. Now, whether that's just because of last season, it was because as soon as kind of we let a goal in, there was this kind of massive psychological block because so many results had gone before.
In some ways, it's a good thing that we lost our home record in the very first match. We've got that out of the way now. There's no...
Well, that's not possibly true, but so it was a funny sort of game, that, in as much as... Preston probably, had we not scored in 1 minute and 12 seconds where it was, we'd probably have sat back in depth
waiting for it,
and it would have probably been a 0-0 draw whilst we tried to break them down. It was only the fact that we scored early that meant that they brought the game on to us.
They had nothing to lose then, and they just went for it.
Yeah, it was fascinating.
They were shocked and surprised by it. They were really pleased with their win as well. They were both
shocked and stunned.
About Campo. Let's talk about Campo, because he's so strange. We're going to wait for him to be match fit, are we? We've got a long time to wait.
does he have to be match fit? Is he one of those players that is
watching him last night, I don't know if he does. Well, he wasn't first to every single ball, but he managed to get a piece of the ball on all the challenges. And he did look very comfortable and very confident on the ball. And some of the passes that he was playing out from the back were a different class to what we've seen at Portman Road for a little while.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the match fitness is that necessary yet. I don't know if there's too many strikers that will run.
He really is a suck it and see thing. It's completely and utterly impossible to predict how he is going to fit in or not fit in, isn't it?
Certainly.
He's such a quirky sort of guy. He slaughtered Peterborough United reserves with some of his balls, but then some of my balls.
Peterborough have actually surprised me last night. They put up more of a test than I thought they would.
They were okay. It was us that were so ordinary, actually. So many of our boys that looked so ordinary.
Such as who? I mean, I didn't go last night, so you can tell me all about it.
Robinson.
I like Robinson. I've always been impressed with him.
I like him as well.
But bear in mind, Jay Reason's got... You know, he looks like a teenage mutant turtle.
Jay's the one. I mean, Jim has nominated like his five players coming through: Jordan Rhodes, Tommy Smith, Kurt, and so on.
Jordan Rhodes.
And Jay's one of those five that Jim said for the last couple of years, watch this boy, and I have, and I still haven't quite seen what he's about.
Oh, what he's special. What he's about.
He hasn't broken through, like the others I've seen. I mean,
he's going to break through.
No,
but sometimes he's quite classy. Sometimes he can put it through straight away. Sometimes then he can turn around a bit, sort of Jason Dazelle or Owen Garvin ish. But he's slow. Well, then he's Owen Garvin.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the sort of role he plays, isn't it? A similar sort of role to that. But yeah, I mean,
he's a slow Owen Garvin.
Well, I mean, he's obviously. I mean, a lot of these kids, you know, they're still very young, aren't they? And I think
Connor Wickham didn't come on last night, and I'm just hot for Connor Wickham.
I'm waiting to see a bit more of him.
Well, he's only 15, isn't he? Yeah. So, but he is kind of Shefty Wickham, isn't he? I thought he was built like Shefty when he played in that under 15.
And he will face the disadvantage that other people will grow as big as him.
Mm.
That's
crikey, he's exciting, isn't he? He's more exciting for me than Jordan Rhodes. I thought Jordan Rhodes was crap last night.
He looked very ordinary last night. Yeah, he had
missed loads of chances,
and they were Jordan Rhodes' chances as well. One at one with a keeper.
Mm.
And Jordan, if there is any complaint about him, if he's not ahead of the last defender, then he struggles. If he's ahead of the last defender, it's in the net. But last night, it didn't happen.
He's had a couple of games like that in pre-season. I can't remember if it was Tiptree or Braintree. Tiptree, I think. He had a lot of chances in that and didn't take them. Some tree-ish place.
Braintree.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of some other joke on that, but I can't.
We don't play Forest.
Forest, very good. Perhaps, I don't know, perhaps he's just a little bit off form at the moment, and I'm confident he'll get the goals out.
Well, we've now got so many. It's lovely that Marcus Evans' money does now mean that we can put out a new team.
Jim's got the opposite headache.
Every match, do you think that's... I think the team that played against Leighton Orient, there were eight changes from
seven.
The team...
There was eight
from the team that played on the Saturday.
From the Preston.
And then I think there was
five.
Seven from...
Was it seven?
Something like that. It was a very large number of changes.
And it wasn't reverting back to the first team either, was it?
No.
So it was...
Well, I meant really, actually, that the team that played in the second league game was about eight players different than the team that played in the first league game. Even ignoring the fact that kind of another team had been played in the middle bit.
That's it.
Super. Whereas last season, of course... you could sort of say, oh, well, Pablo can't be played away.
You were choosing between one or two players, exactly. The rest pick themselves.
Now we're choosing between... And frankly, we mentioned Jamie Peters before we came on air. Jamie Peters is in the form of his life, I would say, and yet he's still, poor chap, just not getting in the frame, is he?
Behind Walters, behind Haynes.
Have we got any opinion from the public?
Well, we've got quite a bit here. There's one on... This is the two-part one from Darius of Ipswich. I won't read the first part. We'll save that because we haven't got onto that yet. But why buy Campo, who is obviously not match fit, when we could have kept Legwinski, who was over his injury at the end of last season?
But I think Legwinski seems to be effectively retiring, though.
He's going to play for someone else.
He's joined IFK Gothenburg on trial, but mainly because he's moving to the west of Sweden, west coast of Sweden, with his wife, who's from that area. I just think he never recovered.
Last night. Well, he's in his mid-50s or so.
Actually, Legwinski is now the same age as Campo.
That's what I was thinking.
Which is interesting. But I think Legwinski just never recovered from that ankle problem.
Campo's worth it for his hair.
But I think Campo... I think Jim sees Campo very much as the new Legwinski, the kind of... player who's... Campo actually played it and won the final of the Champions League, didn't he?
Yes.
Whereas Legwinski reached the semi-finals, didn't he, with Monaco, I think it was, wasn't it? I think he sees him very much in that mould as kind of a player that the youngsters can kind of look up to and
Jamie played very well, playing right back out of position, something that he's learning why he's not getting in his right wing position that he's used to. He's been learning that role, and we could see Campo instructing him, putting him through the game.
Mm.
So while Jamie actually technically was very good, very quick, very good at winning the ball in the air for someone so short, it was Campo that was directing him and his positioning all the way through the game last night.
Have we all read Campo's letter to the Bolton Wanderers fans?
Yes, I have, and I shed a tear. I have to admit.
What an amazing document.
Mm. It's available on the web if anyone's wants to read it.
It's great.
Yeah, very, very, you know.
He must speak very fluent English if that was all his words.
Well, you know, but I mean...
Manchester for the last 5 years,
hasn't
he?
That's true. It's a matter of time, isn't it? You know, you have to see whether how he settles.
I don't
where Jim wants to play him.
I don't see it as a bad signing from that point of view.
No,
we haven't. It's just wages, and I think the benefit, even if he doesn't play regularly in the first team, I think the benefit on the training ground will actually be worthwhile the money that we're paying on his wages.
And the other thing, I think, if we go through a bad patch away from home. And if we play a back four with Campo sat in front, that's a pretty solid.
Well, that's what I was
looking
thinking,
side,
depending
isn't
on how Jim wants to go, look at possibly when he's fit, maybe playing in the four at home and then away from home, he could sit in front.
Smith has been the first defender to sort of come through the academy that I can remember.
Has
since he? Matt Richards.
Well, I suppose that's true. We have been very unlucky with defenders because we had Jared Nash, who was rated very highly by pretty much everyone, had very bad knee injuries, had to retire at about 19.
That's
then we had Aidan Collins, had to come through. With
never really did bad. He got blown for a couple of matches that I don't think were really his fault.
But again, he had knee problems from a very early age as well. And of course had to retire as well.
Smith has certainly progressed, hasn't he?
I would admit now, I'm an absolute massive Smith fan. I'm very biased when it comes to him. But even he shocked me pre-season
by how well he's come on,
he's slimmer, matured.
He's faster.
And everything in the air, he was winning for his size. And that's the thing about being a youngster coming through.
Moving forward.
He's
against Dean Ashton a couple of times, but Dean Ashton was world.
Well, I was glad Jim did that to him. Miller, Dean Ashton, and actually said, right, this is what you would eventually have to face and do it now.
He did okay, but Dean Ashton, I thought Dean Ashton was marvellous.
Dean Ashton did very well.
I thought
in
that last half hour, West Ham's passing was so reminiscent of sort of 40 years ago. And they talked about the West Ham Academy, people like Moore and Peters. Golly, that looked. And Noble, of course, was in the thick of it. He's such a polished little player, isn't he? He doesn't have the sort of extra dimension that makes you a great England player or anything, but he's a little jewel, isn't he?
What he does well, definitely.
I think
like to keep him in a little cage in your kitchen.
I watched him play for England under 21s last year, and he only came on at half time, I think, and it was a game at Norwich. I can't remember, they played in Croatia or someone like that, and he came on at half time, and I thought he absolutely changed the game there.
Did I see him play against Owen Garvin?
Ireland and
but
England
Owen
played.
Owen Garvin had a storming first half.
Yes, sir.
Noble was good in that too.
I'm
a big fan of Noble.
But Smith, I saw Smith two or three times at Stevenage last season, and I thought he looked really good for them. You know, he looked. If you'd have picked the player that was playing his fourth or fifth senior game, it wouldn't have been Smith that you'd have pointed at. It would have been.
And that's the main thing that we're seeing. How much he's matured,
isn't it? Tommy Smith.
You can't have a better name for centre half than Tommy Smith, can you really?
Well, right back as Tommy Smith was.
He played centre half as well, didn't he?
Well, at the dwarf centre half role.
So, what else we got?
We got a few more. There's one from James Cummins from London. I won't read the whole lot because it's quite big. Aside from the Carling Cup game, should we be worried by the number of changes that Magilton has made between the two league games that we've played so far? Or is Super Jim now an apprentice hoping to graduate from the Rafael Benitez Claudio Ranieri School of Management?
40 years ago, the whole benefit to the settled team was the
Can you read anything into it, he's asking, basically?
Well, I think we read into it, we lost the first game more than anything else, really, and I think...
And that it was a Carling Cup game, so you'd have won.
No, the change from the first league game to the second league game, thinking. I think it's we lost, and Garvin's obviously not very well, judging by the way he was pulled out of the Ireland squad through illness, so that was possibly why he was left.
Walters wasn't available for the first game. Right then came out the squad.
Oh, he got injured, didn't he?
We've signed somebody else as well to come into the team. So
Balkestein wasn't really up to it at left back.
We've mentioned Walters again. Now, surely he's going tomorrow to Stoke. When is he going to Stoke, Phil? You're the
Don't know. I mean, it looks like one of the Stoke radio stations said that they've kind of given up their idea of bidding for him now, so it may not happen.
You swore
the rumour is
your mother's room.
The rumour is that, you know, he wants to go for family reasons to get back to the northwest, but if no offer comes in, then he's not going to go, is he? Or if no offer that at the level that Town.
I love Dan Payne's piece in the paper last week saying that he was begging all his fellow big stars to stay at the club whilst presumably at the same time negotiating hard to leave.
Well, probably not, but whilst he was being linked with a number of Premiership clubs himself, it's like any player, he's got a price, and if he does genuinely want to move back to the North West, and there aren't too many kind of statements from John Walters saying, it's all rubbish, I really love it down here, are there? So, and it, quite often it's what's not said as much as what is said in these matters, isn't it? Next.
Raimondo Slegg. Is Amiobi's dodgy hamstring a blessing in disguise?
You can sing that, can't you? Is that Niobe's injury a blessing in disguise?
Well, I don't know.
It's
before my time, that.
You realise that he is, he can trace his family line right the way back.
Yeah.
To the amoeba.
That's very cool.
How many amoeba does it take to change a light bulb?
Yeah. One, no two, no four, no eight, no six.
He's stubborn.
Yeah, right. If he's going to be injured all the time, then obviously it's a blessing in disguise, and I think that's probably most fans' concern about Amiobi, is that he spent most of the last 2 years injured, and he comes here, and he got injured apparently in a pre-season game with Hertha Berlin about 3 or 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he's still not over it, and clearly I would assume that the insurance company won't kind of go along with insuring a player who's got such
an
injury.
Only concern. The other concern is that we're prepared to pay a huge sum of money for a failed Premiership player, whereas someone like a very successful Championship player, like, say, Walters, is not worth as much as a failed Premiership player. I'm not sure that that's quite right. I'd rather pay, I'd pay more for Walters than...
Certainly.
Would you? I don't know. Amiobi has scored goals in the Premier League, not at the kind of levels that... Shearer or Owen or, you know, the really top level players, but he has
didn't do a lot on loan last season in Championship either, I have to say.
No, my
Six games, three starts, three sub appearances, wasn't it? But I mean, the point was that was came right at the end of the season, at the end of a season in which he hadn't played at all. So
And they did offer for him, Stoke. My mate said he was rubbish, but Stoke did offer for him, supposedly.
Yeah, well, I think the deal was that he would go there on loan with a view to a permanent move, wasn't it? So
yeah, but after the loan move, they still fancied it. Supposedly.
Well, managers seem to rate him very highly, don't they? Sven Göran Eriksson said some very nice stuff about him.
I could see a quote somewhere that was actually Swabby himself that said, you should sign him.
Yeah, well...
Which is worrying.
Well, the other thing is that Charlie Woods is Jim's right-hand man, and we certainly know... Amiobi very well from his time in Newcastle. So it's a difficult one to call. It's either kind of, it's genius or madman time, isn't it? Really,
that's
it goes one way. It's fantastic.
Jim's right hand man.
He's a consultant to the manager.
He's the person.
I would say to some extent a sort of director of football ish type role.
Without the official title, yeah, the person that he actually goes to for advice or leans on.
He's had a lovely run.
An older head, eminence,
Greece.
Yeah, something like that. Next.
Francis Tyson, is there any truth? That's not the Francis Tyson, not the great friends Tyson.
No.
Is there any truth in the rumour that we are going to get Cisse ahead of Sunderland? Or will we be going for Dean Windass? Are these anywhere near reality?
Do you know what? I would love Dean Windass. He knows where the net is.
He does.
I like Dean Windass. I used to go and watch him for Hull City when I was at college, and
that shows how old he's getting.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I remember watching him. Trevor Putney was playing for the opposition. That shows how long ago it was.
Talking of crap old players, it was so lovely to see Francis Jeffers.
on the news. With an injury.
He's not injured again, is he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I'd say no chance, I would imagine. And Windass, I can't imagine him wanting to do anything other than stay at Hull in their glorious year.
Absolutely. Yeah. The second half of the Darius guy from Ipswich, not heard any more on the vault situation. Does anyone of you know if it's likely to happen?
Don't know. I suspect talks are ongoing, I think, aren't they?
Right.
I think especially start talks Monday.
Website is super, isn't it?
It is. He's
a bit of a character, isn't he?
He sounds like a top bloke, doesn't he? Really, and really will be good to have him down here.
I was laughing out loud at the website.
I think, I think everyone's kind of, he's got that right attitude. I can remember him playing for the Arsenal kids down here when in that Darren Bent Darren Ambrose.
Was he? Love that. Was
Matt Hallamfield side for Arsenal down here when they.
It's the right age as well, 25.
Jerome Thomas and that team. Yeah,
he was in that side.
Yeah, there was that Youth Cup semi-final 2001.
Oh, that was
and
okay.
He was playing for that team.
That was the best performance. Jermaine Pennant's performance in those two legs was the best performance from a youth player I've ever seen.
Yeah,
I
it was absolutely fantastic.
Wonderful.
And of course, Darren Bent scored a hat-trick in the away leg, didn't he? I think.
Not Darren Bent. And it's so wonderful, isn't it, to see Darren Bent suddenly scoring all these hundreds
he
of...
Did
he
did
14 goals.
He did the same thing last pre-season, though. He scored a handful of goals pre-season and then did hardly anything.
He was up against Robbie Keane and Berbatov, who between them are now worth £89.17 million, aren't they?
Yeah.
A bit hard to get into a team where you've got some...
Well, it's a job to do it, isn't it?
And to be fair, four of the goals were only against Norwich anyway.
Well, that's true, so they don't really count.
Decidedly dodgy this season.
So, so, Volks, you're both fully in favour of Volks as a signing?
I would be.
I mean, I thought that the whole signing was the idea was going to be that David Wright was perhaps a bit crocked because of this ankle, but it does seem he's an additional.
When you say additional, maybe that is paving the way for Bruce to leave.
I can't see
with Naylor and McCauley and Wright and
have you
Bolts
been on Bruce's Facebook page?
No. I don't understand such things.
Where he said he wants to leave.
Not close enough.
He's retracted that one, wasn't
he? They
laughed
off. They did, yeah. But it still wouldn't surprise me given the circumstances.
Tell me this. Hubenthurer Evans. is prepared to sign anybody that happens to look our way. Why the hell didn't we sign all these players on January the 1st or 2nd or 3rd or 4th? Why did we wait for the great Norris until January?
Well, I think we have been kind of trying to sign players, but
in January?
I think we did sign.
Was it
five?
Was it someone?
Five players in January? I mean,
who were they? I've forgotten them all.
It was
Little Norris.
Shumi, Norris, Colgan, Bywater, and all the various other ones. But the point being, I would assume that Jim was looking at evolution as opposed to revolution.
Why wasn't he trying to get into the Premiership by grabbing half a dozen old gits?
Because I think he probably thought it wasn't going to work. Whereas building a team over a period of January and the summer,
he could have gone mad, spent 10-12 million in January, got us in the Premiership, and then had to build a new team again. And I think you're right, doing it this season, see where we are in January, and if we can do it then, you've got to build a team, because you mentioned Francis Jeffers, not a Premiership player really, is he? He hasn't done, but when he played for us, the difference between his level of football and the rest of the team actually was quite scary to show that.
I mean, he did play. His loan period was the absolute highlight of that season, it has to be said, without any question.
And that is from a failed Premiership player who's had every opportunity to do it.
And it walks on one leg, really, most of the time.
So that is the worrying thing.
Which Graham?
Yeah, we have one here which we may not get out of the studio. His head will swell. From Mariner, old Git is a god. Give him his own satan to show he is the new Richard Keys.
That just means he's a hairy man.
Do you want to quickly look at Preston? You've got about a minute to do that.
Preston, that was 2 weeks ago.
Wolves.
Oh yeah, we were playing Wolves.
Interesting thing about Wolves, I was reading a bit today from Mick McCarthy who's saying that he's going to go very attacking against Town, and I thought, well, that's fantastic. That's exactly what we want him to do, isn't it?
He's hoping for a very open game, isn't he?
Yeah, open game. Well, there you go. Bring it on, I say. 3-1 to Town.
Actually, why didn't we sign? Who was the big black player that went to Wolves from
Sylvain Ebanks, of course. Blake.
It's awfully difficult to say. Yes, you.
I know.
You would have thought it would have been easy for you to say, but you didn't.
Sylvain Ebanks, Blake.
Up at Wolves against
Molyneux.
Sylvain Ebanks, Blake was jolly threatening.
Yeah, I think he misses too many chances though to be a really top level striker, don't you?
I've had arguments with people on this one. I don't rate him as highly as everybody else does, but if he scores the goals,
then I suppose
that's what matters, and that's my concern about Amiobi, that he's not a goal scorer, fit or not.
I think we still need that. I mean, Amiobi, if we're looking for a big striker, he wouldn't be the big striker that
I'm
looking
gossip
at, even in the mould.
You must be itching to tell us all sorts of gossip about Jim, for example. What about the colour of Marcus Evans's hair, which I know?
Well, he's obviously dyed it recently, we know. No, I've no idea.
Can you just finish, please? I'm getting bored now. Can you just do the Wolves quickly?
No, I've done 3-1. Come on, what's yours?
Oh, I couldn't care.
Don't care. Match abandoned.
I would say 2-0, but I can't see a clean sheet. It's 2-1.
There you go.
What did you say?
2-1.
Oh, yeah.
What did you say, Phil?
I said 3-1. What's your
3-1.
School
draw.
Parachutist stop play.
Draw, yeah. Absolutely.
For the second... You're going to put a bet on parachutist stopped play.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? I mean, you could retire on that, couldn't you, if a parachute had landed on the roof?
Yeah, you could have 3-0 and a parachute is delayed play by 51 minutes. That'd be odd, wouldn't they? Right, end of the show.
And on that note, we have to go, so it's goodbye from His Worship the Git.
God bless you all.
Goodbye from England goalkeeper David James. Has he scoot off now, don't you, David?
That's it.
And where?
Off to Wembley, apparently.
Wembley, they're playing.
Apparently,
so.
Yes.
Goodbye, of course, from young Philip.
Bye.
Goodbye from me. And a quick apologies to Mark Burton. I hadn't had time to read your email out. Maybe we'll do it next week.
Hello,
cheers,
Mark.
Mate. Hello, Mark. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.